New York State has been the most hard-hit state in the country, and New York City is the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S. Roughly half of all confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. are in New York, more than 30,000. More than 200 people there have died from COVID-19. Here's Governor Andrew Cuomo.
We still have the trajectory going up. We have not turned the trajectory, nor have we hit the apex. We're still on the way up the mountain.
So in this part of the program, we're going to answer your questions about New York, especially if you live there, if you know somebody who does, or if you want to understand how the city is coping. Please send us your questions at npr.org/nationalconversation or on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Use the hashtag NPR Conversation. To help answer some of your questions, we have NPR's national correspondent, Hansi Lo Wang, who's based in New York, and NPR science reporter, Rebecca Hersher, who's been reporting on the outbreak. Hansi, Rebecca, welcome to you both. Good to hear from you both.
Thanks for having us.
Good evening, Michelle.
So our first question is from Chef Jeremiah Stone. He co-owns two restaurants in New York. Chef, welcome.
My name is Cody Harrington. I'm from South Bend, Indiana.
No, that wasn't the chef. Chef Jeremiah, are you there?
Hi.
Yes.
How are you? Good, good.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about what you're up against during this pandemic?
Yeah, so me and my partner have, we own four businesses. We have three restaurants and then a wine shop with our partner, Daryl, all in the Lower East Side neighborhood of New York City. We decided to close, I think, maybe 2 days before it was mandated for all New York City restaurants to close. And since then, you know, we've had to lay off pretty much 95% of our staff.
That's hard to do. Sorry about that. And and I can actually hear it in your voice. I know that's not easy to do because, you know, you work closely together and you care about the people. Do you have a question for us that we can answer?
Yeah, I guess the big question that's on my mind, and actually, you know, a lot of chef and restaurant owners have been talking to, is what the best, you know, thing to do in this time is. I know, like, you know, for us, our restaurant is it's a bit of a luxury because it's a tasting menu and it's a higher price point. But you know, we've held off for about a little bit over a week on getting delivery and takeout going. And we're kind of, you know, we've been really weighing the options between, you know, we want to supply our regulars, the neighborhood, people who have been coming to the restaurants and have that service of hospitality and generosity, and also to keep our staff safe and just kind of understanding, you know, are we doing the right? We've put a bunch of steps in place and precautions to make sure that, you know, the staff is self-quarantined and, you know, they're all arriving in private cars and not taking the public transit. But, you know, just weighing between the two of, you know, trying to provide for potentially people's families and well-being versus sure. their safety.
Well, thanks for the question, Chef. And I'm going to ask our reporters to weigh in here. And this has to be a question that's on the minds of, it has to be, what, hundreds of thousands of people? I mean, restaurants are among the major small businesses in this country. So Hansi, Becky, what do you say?
Yeah, this is a very tough question facing a lot of New Yorkers right now, especially because there's this executive order that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed, and it's been in effect since Sunday night. The only restaurants that can stay open in the state are ones that have been declared essential, and those are ones that do takeout and deliveries, which, you know, like for businesses like Mr. Stone's, this is a very big change. And, you know, it's not clear how long this order will last, how long other restaurants will have to stay closed. So we're in this waiting period over the next 3 weeks. New York cases of COVID-19 could really peak. It's a fluid situation, and it's really hard for business owners to plan in the long term and really think what's best for sustainability.
Becky, do you have thoughts about the Chef Stone's question about whether moving to a takeout model is really a good idea?
Yeah, I think the issues he's brought up are ones that I've heard a lot of restaurant owners concerned about, and I think he's right to really think about how his employees are getting to the restaurant, whether he is asking them to put themselves at risk, and if he is, whether he has a good reason to do that. And I think, unfortunately, there are no easy answers here. I have talked to restaurant owners who have decided to close down entirely, permanently, because they can't switch over to a takeout menu, or they don't feel like they're in a position to safely employ their employees right now. There are others who have been able to do it. And so I think I know it's a hard time, but I applaud Mr. Stone for really thinking about these issues before he makes decisions.
Chef, I'm not sure that's satisfying to you, but we're in uncharted territory for all of us. So, you know, thank you for calling, and, you know, best of luck to you, and we'll keep a good thought for you.
Thanks so much. Stay safe.
So let's answer some more of your questions. Next, we have Cody.
My name is Cody Harrington. I'm from South Bend, Indiana. And my question is, why are we only seeing huge numbers in New York? Why are we not seeing the same jump in cases in other large cities?
Hansi?
Yeah, the short answer is we don't know for sure, but something to keep in mind is that testing right now for COVID-19 is not uniformly available around the country. And so it could be that because more testing is happening in New York, we know about more cases in New York. And, you know, another thing to keep in mind about the numbers out of New York State, about 60% of those numbers are coming specifically from New York City, which is the most densely populated major U.S. city. You know, 27,000 people live per square mile in New York City. And it's, of course, a major travel hub. And New York's governor, Andrew Cuomo, has called New York, you know, a canary in a coal mine, that this, what's happening right now in New York, is likely to repeat itself in other places, in other states, in, you know, California, in other states and other cities coming up.
Let's go to a question from a different part of the country. This is Adam from New Orleans. Let's listen.
I was wondering when...
...in the country. Oops. It seems to me that per capita numbers rather than raw numbers should be the most effective way to determine the impact of the virus on a community. But is there a reason experts in the media look at raw numbers instead of per capita? Is a larger city like New York or a city with a more normal infection rate going to spread the virus more than a smaller tourism-centric city with a higher infection rate like New Orleans?
I'm not sure who wants to answer that. Becky, Hansi, I'm not sure. Which of you wants to take that
one? I can jump
one?
In there, Michelle. Okay. This is Hansi. I think it's really hard to compare infection rates right now in different parts of the country because, again, testing is not widespread enough. But, you know, raw numbers really do give us a sense of the scale. And as we see numbers continue to climb here in New York, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that each new case may mean that hospitals need to prepare an extra bed or, in extreme cases, a ventilator. And those are really, really hot commodities right now. There are not enough ventilators. There are not enough beds. And we're trying to track whether, you know, the number of cases really match up with the resources that New York has currently.
Hansi Lo Wong and Becky Hersher are going to stay with us. We have more questions for the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News. We hope you'll stay with us.